Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Friend, Let's Talk About It. I'm your girl, Shauna Marie, and today we have a special guest with us. I am so excited. I am so excited to have her here. This is Becca. Say hey, Becca.
Hi.
Yes, I'm so glad you came on today. Thank you so much for coming on and being willing to share your story. What are we talking about today? You want to tell them?
We're talking about being an atheist, loving God.
Yes, that is so amazing. Becca is sharing her story with us, y'all, as a former atheist and coming to Christ. I don't know much about it. I just know little tidbits because we're in a small group together, but I'm really excited to hear your story.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's get started. How about you tell me about your childhood? Who is Becca? How did you grow up?
My childhood was pretty normal. I'm not from, Texas. I'm from Massachusetts. So, everywhere you go culturally it's different. My dad was a truck driver. My mom, she was a stay-at-home mom until after I went to college, she became a nurse. But typical childhood. I have two siblings. I have an older brother and an older sister. I'm the baby.
Me too. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to the babies out there.
Shout out to the babies. But growing up, there had been maybe once or twice, maybe more than that. But, there's been a handful of times where I've been introduced to a religion. My father and his family, they're all Catholics. And my mother, she was a born-again Christian. But it was never a firm foundation on faith. My mom, she had a blimp in her life where she would go to church, and I went once or twice until I absolutely fought it. And I was because I wasn't introduced the right way. She was just dragging me along, and put on your Sunday best. And, at the time, I think it was a non-denominational church, mm-hmm. but, we were in a elementary school auditorium. That's where our church started. And everybody's just singing, praising Jesus. And I'm like, what are we doing? What is this about, my dad, he watched Joel Osteen a couple of times on TV. I still love Joel. But it was never a firm foundation, which is, something that I didn't really knew that it affected me until my adulthood. Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people get atheist confused because when they hear the word atheist, they think devil worshiper. And that's not true. Because if you're a devil worshiper, then you technically believe in God. Yeah. But from my understanding, atheists just don't, they don't believe there's a God.
It's
just
atheists, I mean, atheists was, for me, like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in, like, a creator or a universe. You know, I never really got wrapped into, like, a horoscope or anything. I kind of was just, like, just living my life of, like, I'm just here, you
it
know?
It is and, what it is.
You know, like, I was like, this is just the fact of life, you know? I'm like, mom and dad got together and here I am, you know? But I didn't believe, I didn't even believe in the devil, like, heaven or hell. I didn't even believe in that. I was just like, we die and I don't know what happens, but we die.
Like that's it. You
that's
know?
It, yeah. But it's really just, like, walking unknowingly into life of what it actually was and is.
Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. So you have had, well, I don't know if your father is still Catholic, but he was Catholic and your mom was Christian. So where does it start? Like, how's your life looking? And then how do you get to the point of where you're like, okay, maybe I should try this out. Well, I don't know how it went. But like, what is your life looking like? And how did you get here?
Honestly, like, my life has been an adventure. It was a rocky household growing up. Every family has their own drama. My family had a share of it. Yeah, I just, like, first and foremost, it really started, like, when I was went to college. My roommate, she was from down south. Like, she was from Virginia. So,
I don't know what that means.
Like, she's just, she, like, for me, and this is how I was always, like, raised of, like, people Southern, you know, they have the whole Bible Belt thing. People Southern, they're just inherently more, like, religious, or they have a firm belief in Jesus Christ and God. And so she came up and she's like, yeah, I love Jesus. And, you know, and I don't know if her faith has changed. I don't really talk to her. She's but, you know, and it kind of started with that. And then I studied abroad in Paris. And then I came back. And before I, like, went to Paris, I got into a relationship. And this is the biggest point in my life, because I was like, okay, like, I got a man. Like, okay. And we survived a long-distance relationship. And when we came back, COVID really changed things, because I got kicked out of Paris because of COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, and I made it back right before I wasn't allowed to come back in. But I spent another... It wasn't until 2023, so I spent almost 5.5 years with him, and he was a narcissist. He was verbally abusive, and I thought that was kind of normal, you know, and we were living with him and his family. His family were Italian Catholics. Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all, but I'd only been to church once or twice with them, and one of the times was because we were at a funeral. And I don't know, I kind of just, like, still deflected it. And it wasn't until, like, finally I'd kind of had enough. I was looking for a way out. And I've always wanted to move to Texas. Always wanted to. My dad, when I was looking for colleges, he wouldn't let me move down here by myself. Because there was a community college where you could get a business degree and a baking and pastry and culinary degree. And I was like, that's what I want.
It was She's a chef, y'all.
I cook. but my dad was like, absolutely not. Like, it's a community college. There was no, like, community colleges. They don't have, like, campus housing or anything. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're going to have to get an apartment on your own. You're going to have to get a job. And Dallas is, you know, their crime rate is horrible. Like, I'm not letting you do that. And I was like, okay. And so I kind of, like, I gave up on Texas. And then for whatever reason, Texas was calling me. And before I left, I got this job. And I have a problem with cussing. Everybody around me in my life cussed, and I'm coming into Christ. I'm still trying to not cuss, but I find myself sometimes just slipping. But there was this one guy, and his name is Andy, and, you know, he has a great testimony, great testimony. And he's like, I don't cuss anymore. And, you know, he has his own testimony. I'm not going to air it out, but, you know, he would hand me Bible verses and he would just try to share, like, the gospel with me. And I was always like, I'm not going to knock anybody for talking about their religion. Like, you can talk about it, but I wasn't receptive to it. And man, he just kept handing them to me and handing them to me and handing them to me. And, you know, finally I was just like, yeah, like I'm moving down to Texas. And he gave me like a little pamphlet and I still have it. It's somewhere in my apartment. Mm-hmm. But it was just like the basics of like Jesus pamphlet kind of. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, I think you're going to need it when you go down there. And I was like, thank you so much. Like, you know, it's like, it's a gift from someone. I'm not going to be like, ugh, I don't want it. But, you know, I took it and it sat in my car and I got a new car and it's still kind of in there. And then coming down here, got the job at where I work, is Komodo. And there was a girl, her name's Natanya, Jesus loving, like so Christian. And again, I never knocked anybody for talking about Jesus or, you know, God or anything, but I was never really open or receptive to it. And Andy and her were really just planting seeds. You know, they were just like in that little ear murmuring, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like she ended up leaving. But before she did, she's like, I really love for you to like come to church. And, you know, she goes to Watermark. So they also have like a youth night. But on Tuesday, mm-hmm. She invited me to go out a couple of times. I declined it. And we were listening to music one time and she's like, you know, this is a worship shop. And I was like, is it really? I was like, I didn't know. And then in come Alexis. Now, Alexis is one of my best friends down here. She'll be my maid of honor, my wedding type of deal. But she is so vocal about Jesus. She's like, I love Jesus. Jesus is great. God is good all the time. And she's coming in. And I was giving her rides home and everything. And every time, like, she was, like, talking about me to people at work, she's like, yeah, I'm going to try to convert her. Because she knew I was an atheist. I told everybody I was an atheist. And for like me, that was like almost like, it was almost like a point of like proudness of like, oh, I'm an atheist. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Like I thought it was, you know, I was proud of that. And she's like, I'm going to try to convert you. And I said, girl, you can try. You can try. And she kept talking about it and talking about it. And I was just coming into a really point in my life where I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Like, was this the right move? Because like I moved down here. I have no family down here. When I moved down here, I had an Airbnb for a month. I lived in my car for 2 weeks. And then, you know, by the grace of God, now that I know that he's out there and he exists and he's very much so a living God, by the grace of him, man, I met these two people at a dog park and they brought me in. But I just saw how she was living and like all the good things that are happening to her. And I was like, I want a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
I want whatever she's got. And so I asked her to give me a Bible and she freaked. She bought me my first Bible and everything.
Aww.
But yeah, that's kind of like where it started. It was really just me trying to get out of Massachusetts, me trying to get away from this guy and starting a brand new life. When I came down here, someone asked me what my name was and I changed it. I go at home, everybody calls me Becky.
Mm-hmm.
But down here, I was like, yeah, Becca. And I was like, it's stuck. Like, I really came down here to like start a new identity. And I had two people before Alexis really just start plant seeds. And I didn't know it at the time. I was just like, they just love God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. And I think the thing that kind of like stuck out to me the most, now I'm trying to remember because my brain be going blank when I'm really like listening to people and I don't be listening to respond. I actually be listening. You had said you wanted a piece of what she had. So it's almost like, she was just being an example and like because of where you were in life and it's just like, I don't know how you felt. Like, I don't know if you felt empty. I don't know if you felt lost or what it was, but you see her being an example. And you're like, okay, she loved God. Like, what is it about God that I'm missing and why she having fun and I'm not?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that is the best because I never believed in like pushing my faith on anybody else. I'm not a religious person anyway. I'm definitely big on like my relationship with Christ over religion. And it's like, I will sit with, Jesus said with sinners, like, I will talk to anybody, I'll sit with anybody, I'll say, I can sit with you, but I can't stand with you. But it's just like, I want to be an example. Because you never know, like, who's watching you. And I think that's so beautiful. I also think it's funny that she came in with a plan. Like, I
definitely did. She definitely did, which is, it's probably, like, every time, like, I talk about my testimony, and she's always kind of always sometimes in the room, I'm like, yeah, this girl over here. I'm like, and the thing is like, some people like do push their faith, but like, I never felt like that. And she didn't like push it in any way that was, you know, like, aggressive or anything. She literally just like lived her life through Christ. And I'm just witnessing like all the good things happening to her. And I'm just like watching like just also how like she like interacts with people. Because before coming into Christ, like my heart was hardened. I didn't like people. I really didn't. I was an angry person too. And I'm just like watching how like people like gravitate towards her because, you know, she's just such a like a lighthearted person. And I'm also just watching like her have the utmost confidence to talk about something that in our culture is kind of like, I don't want to say it's taboo, but it's like not common for, especially like in my generation at 25 years old, 23, 24, 25. You know, for us to be like, oh, we love God. You know, it's kind of like a whoa, like type of thing. And she was just so confident with it. And I was like, I want that. I want the confidence. I want the people to come to me because, you know, I'm kind-hearted and I'm full of love. And she's definitely like, if you want to talk about someone whose cup is overflowing all the time, it would be that girl right there.
Alexis, if you're seeing this girl loves you. She loves you. Okay. So how did God begin to reveal himself to you personally? So now you already like are curious. She bought you your Bible. Like, so now what does that journey look like? How did you know, like, okay, this is God. I actually got to encounter, maybe having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Like, what did that look like?
For me, honestly, like after I got the Bible, like, and me and Alexa were just talking about this, but she's like, most people like go to the church and feel it up a little bit and then they get their Bible and then they go ahead first. I got my Bible and I was like, okay, Monday, coffee shop, Bible study. Let's go. And you know, and my Bible, like I got tabs for my Bible. I got like the little sticky note tabs and everything.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I need to like tab like certain verses. And now I'm like, of course, me, I'm like months into it, not even, but I'm like tabbing things that I've seen on social media of like, oh, if you deal with anger, this is a good one. And I didn't really like fully like read the Bible. I was just reading the verses because I was like, oh, yeah, that'll help me. But I don't know. I think how it really started to move through me was just how I started to treat people. Because like I said, I was angry. I don't want to say I was spiteful, but I was angry. I was petty. I had a lot of like contempt for human beings. Because I was just like, there's no hope for this world. Like everybody's out for someone. And I just saw, like, I just started seeing him slowly work through, like with my parents, I had, you know, family drama and I went no contact with them. And my mom almost gone. She got into a really bad accident. And my dad hadn't talked to my parents probably about 2 months, 2-3 months of this time. And my dad gave me a phone call at work. And normally I wouldn't answer, but I was like, my dad, I haven't talked to him in months. And he's not the one to break a no contact that I started type of thing. And he was like, I just want to let you know that, you know, your mom got in a really bad car accident. If she wasn't in my vehicle, because he drives like a Suburban, like he drove like a bigger vehicle. She has a rinky dink little like Kia. There's nothing wrong with Kias. There's nothing wrong with Kias, but like when I think of Kias, I think of like I drive an SUV for a Kia, like you know. But she's like she's just in like a 4-door like tiny car.
Yeah.
And you know, he was like, if she wasn't in my vehicle, she would not be with us. You know, she's diabetic and her sugar like plummeted and caused her to literally go unconscious and like lose control. I mean, I guess she went through like 4 or 5 medians and flipped her car multiple times. And so like her entire like right side of her arm all broken and shattered. And he was really like, she's wouldn't be here with us right now. And I'd been asking God what to do because I was like, these are my parents, you know, and someone like revealed to me, they're like, it's their first time being adults. And it's also their first time caring for a child. And I was like, man, I really can't like hold anything against them, like, because it was their first time. And I was just like, God, like, what do I do? And I was like, do I break it? Do I not? And I got that phone call and I literally burst into tears because I was like, my mom, like the last thing I probably told, I think the last I told her was like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, I'm done talking to you type of thing. And yeah, like getting that phone call, God really was like, you better fix the relationship. Because I would have held so much guilt of like the last thing I said to my mom, the last thing that I've, you know, talked to her about, and then like she's gone, you know. And so I fully believe, and I thank God every day that he protected her in that instance and that she's still with us and she's still living with us. But then also too, what comes with that of like, now how do I release everything? Because even though she got a terrible car accident, I still had my feelings. I would have felt guilt if she hadn't been with us, but I still had my feelings. I was like, how do I give this away? And I think it's like a week after that, actually at church on Monday. Do you remember when we had that whole panel and it was like a large room discussion and they were literally like opening the floor to everybody?
Did I miss that one or was I there?
I don't know,
but just tell me about it.
But I can't, like, the sermon was just basically like talking about like, you know, like how to like handle situations like with family and like just like, you know, life basically. And they had a panel and it was like 6 people. It was like Pastor Deshaun. I know it was like Jason, the other youth pastor there. I can't remember his name.
Maybe Reese or something.
I think it was Reese, yeah. And it was just all of them. And they opened the floor. And I was like, man, I really should ask that question. So I was like, I really need to ask that
question. Actually, I think I remember this because I remember you standing and asking a question.
Yeah, because I think
I was there.
I think because you put it in the group chat after the fact of like, thank you for asking that question.
I had to shout you out, girl. Yeah. Okay, I do remember this.
But it was that time, okay. And I was like, man, I really want to ask that question, but I was like, they won't pick on me. And Pastor Thomas, you, and sister over there, you. And I was like, me? I got so excited. And then I was like, oh, man, how do I formulate this question without airing out my entire business to the 200-plus people that are in this room right now? But I asked the question of, like, how do you... How did I word it? I was like, how do you have boundaries with people who have hurt you and you want to protect your peace, but you still want to have a relationship with them and they think because you've opened up contact with them, the relationship is just going to go the same. Mm-hmm. And Pastor John, he said something and I honestly, it stuck with me. And he was like, he said, it's not protect your peace, it's guard your heart because Jesus is peace. I was like, okay, clock that because that's 100% true. And it really just left me to think, and like me and my parents talk, and you know, of course I don't bring up the things that we would get in fights over, but we still talk to them. And I think that was just genuinely God's way of fixing that, because family is important to me. Family is like a pillar of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my family, we a little scrambled, but family at the end of the day is important. And God knew that. 100% he knew that.
Yeah.
And he knew I needed to fix that relationship to, like, help me start to work on other parts of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's how God would do it. I think it's so beautiful because, like, what you basically witness is how God will work in you and it starts to show on the outside. You do not have to be perfect coming to God. Like, you did exactly what he wanted you to do. Like, just bring it to me, give it to me. ask me, trust me, and I would do everything else. And I feel like a lot of people struggle with that. Even me, myself, I used to have really bad control issues. Like, it was so hard for me to trust God. He got to a point where he was like, okay, let me, all right, I got to force her. Don't let God force you. You don't want that.
Be obedient, please. Be obedient.
But, like, that's literally it. Like, all you have to do is just give him that. He's like, you can even test God. Be like, show me what you can do. He'd be like, I will. And will.
He will.
And will. So it's just like.
He will, for sure.
You just, like, gave it to him. You literally just came to him. You asked him. You seek guidance in the right spaces. Like, you did it the way he would want you to do. And I think that's so beautiful. And it shows up. And, like, you were able to. Do you feel like you were able to, like, forgive your parents now? Or you feel like you're still working on that?
I forgive them. But, you know, we're still working on the relationship. And I still hold sometimes. Because it's so hard, especially with parents, because you, like, I feel like as a child, you have this idea of, like, what your parents should or shouldn't be, and you put them on this pedestal. And like I said, it wasn't until someone was like, it was their first time, and I was like,
yeah,
man, you're right, you know. And so, like, I had to, like, definitely, like, almost like knock over that pedestal that I wanted to put my parents on, and just realize of, like, hey, I was clothed, I was fed, I had a great education. They allowed me to do things, you know, in life. And there's also people out there that are living a lot worse life and have a lot worse, like, childhood than me. Kind of, like, I've taken a lot of things with a grain of salt. And like I said, the things that do upset me, I give it to God. But I also, like, I just don't bring it up anymore because it's the same argument. It's the same cycle of argument. And I was like, whatever, you know what, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's okay. And you just have to, like, learn, like, I've had to learn just, like, what to let go and, like, what is actually, like, a huge thing. And honestly, some of the stuff I was mad about wasn't even that big of a deal.
Yeah,
it was just my inner child of, like, pick me, love me. Aww. Type of thing.
That's so sweet though, the inner child. But I'm glad that you came to that realization, because I tell people that all the time that struggles with issues with their families. Like, I have daddy issues. I don't have a great relationship with my father. And one thing we have to learn is that our parents, they have their own traumas. They had their own childhoods. Not all of them took the time to heal. It's not an excuse, but it does help you better understand, and it will help you get to the point of, like, sometimes, especially, like, with my father, I had to accept the apology I'm probably never going to get in life. So it's just like, I just had to forgive for me and for me to be able to move on and to release that out of my heart and just, you know, just move forward. And forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. Yes. Some people are toxic and you don't need them back. You can just forgive and just let it go.
We ain't talking about your toxic ex.
Stop. Now you're putting them on blast. Thinking, like, should I forgive him? Should
no.
I forgive her? Wow, Becca.
You gotta let the people know.
You do. You definitely gotta let them know. So how did your worldview or lifestyle begin to shift after you chose a life for Christ?
Worldview?
Because I remember at first you felt like there's no hope for these people.
Yeah.
And, like, is there any specific things in your lifestyle that you used to do day to day that you don't do anymore? Like, what changed?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. Honestly, like, and one of the biggest reasons why I honestly didn't believe in God was because I was like, if God is real, there shouldn't be any child sickness. There shouldn't be any homeless. There shouldn't be people going hungry every day. And I was like, if God is so good, like, none of this would be happening. And it was Alexa. She's like, God gives us free will. And she goes, we also live in a fallen world. And it wasn't until, like, she said that I was like, wow, you're right. And being an angry person, honestly, I used to take my anger out on people a lot. And it's not good. Y'all, it's not good at all to take your anger out on people. And it put me in hot water a couple of times, especially at work. And my dad always growing up, he's like, your mouth is going to get you in trouble. And man, it almost got me in trouble. I did a couple of times. And I just like started looking at the world like a little bit softer. These people have made their choices and that's why they're in the world that they are. And then I also had to look at, you know, the billionaires and the famous people and they're all living lifestyles. And someone said, don't compare yourself to where God has you, where the devil has someone else's life. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, you're right. Cause
that's
not
good.
Cause not everywhere in your life is like, or every person in your life rather is going to be where you think you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I started giving myself so much grace. And I was like, especially living in the world where women, we got time blocks. You got to be married, have a house, have a kid, and by at least 25.
I'm already late. I done had to start over. I'm behind schedule.
Me too. Me too. I'm like, I'm 25. I'm single. I got a career. No kids. Like,
dang, what are we doing?
I guess we're doing it wrong. But, you know, I had to start giving myself so much grace of like, you're exactly where you need to be. And you're exactly where God needs you to be. And then my lifestyle, the biggest thing in my life that started to change was inserting worship music into my playlist. I'm heavy on music. I listen to music on my way into work. I listen to it at work. I listen to it on my way home. I'm in my apartment with headphones on or I'm blaring it at reasonable hours. I'm not that bad of a neighbor. But I'm blaring it. And music is just, it's a comfort for me. You know, it always kind of like dimmed out the world for me a little bit. And inserting worship music, because I always had like, I don't know, my families were Catholic, you know, so like going into church, we're listening to like hymns and I'm like thinking like, I'm also like in the thought of like worship music is like Christmas music. You got the same four songs by 100 different people. And I'm like, it's going to get boring after a while. And the first ever worship song that I got introduced to, and I was like, goodness, is this what worship music is like? It was actually Brandon Lake, Hard Fought Hallelujah, and oh my goodness, that was blaring for probably about 3 weeks straight in my car. I'm screaming. I actually went into work one day and they're like, you have no voice. And I was like, it's fine.
I was worshiping, don't even worry about it.
And I kind of just like opened the door to like a lot of different things. And like I realized that like worship music isn't boring. Worship music is literally what it's intended to do.
Yeah.
There's been times where I'll listen to like one song and it'll be good. And I'll listen to the same song a week later and I'm starting to cry. I'm like, why am I crying? I'm like, huh, his presence is with me. That's why.
Yeah.
You know? And that really started to open a lot of things. And because your phone speaks to the apps, they speak to each other. And they also, your phones listen.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
To you. I swear they do.
I know.
They nosy. But when I was starting to like talking about like Bibles and Bible studies and everything, my TikTok page all of a sudden became
straight up Christian.
Yeah, it was like Bibles, Bible verses. This is what a Bible is pretty. And part of me got too wrapped up in like the pretty Bible, and I was like, I want a pretty Bible, I want that. And then I started like kind of getting more into the Bible study, but I wasn't reading my Bible. I was reading it and I was like highlighting it to make it look pretty, and that's God so convicted funny. Me of that one.
Yeah,
big time.
At least you highlighted. I got multiple Bibles, and I mean, on a Bible app more. You know what, we ain't gonna talk about it right now.
Digital Bible app is so good though. I can't
it's so quick. I can get to all the types of Bibles I need to. If I need to see NIV, NLT, New King, like, it's all right there. CSB,
it's right there.
Amplified, like, but I mean, I got multiple Bibles in different translations too, but it's just so quick to.
Yeah, it's just, let me switch. I got 3 Bibles. They're all NIV though. I gotta get a new one about ESV so you can see the different translations. But the only reason why I got the NIV was because Alexa was like, this is your first Bible. You're going to want to have a version that you can read.
Yeah, it is.
And she's like, don't start with King James Version. You're not going to break yourself.
Oh, no. My mom, well, I grew up in church. My mom is a KJV? Yeah, KJV person till she died. I'll quote a scripture and she'd be like, and thou is. And I'm like, here she go.
There she go. Thou shan't.
Yes.
Thou art. What are we saying?
We were talking about the verse in 2 Timothy where it says, basically, a man who doesn't take care of his household, his children, is worse than an unbeliever. And she was like, yes. What's the word? Now I can't think of the word. Emphasis. It was something. I might be saying it wrong, but I'm just like, all right, King James.
King James, man.
She will requote that King James so quick. She good. She good.
Yo, I'm more power to the people that can read it, yes, and that do quote it. I was actually sitting next to a girl at church yesterday. I saw her Bible and I was like, girl, you better than me.
Listen.
I'm like, I can't. I can't even read Shakespeare because they have the same verbiage. And I'm like, thou aren't shan't. I'm like, why do I gotta translate what these words are? And I'm like, why are you putting 3 different words into one? It don't make sense.
It's fancy language. But that is smart. I'm glad she gave you an NIV.
Yeah. And of course, I was like, NIV is like, oh, let me just get all of my Bibles NIV. So, but I do have 3 Bibles. I have my pretty Bible that she bought me and that I don't like writing in because it was like a gift for me. And then I have my Bible that's sitting on the table over there. But she's the one that I write in a lot. I have that on my nightstand and I put it into her. So, and it was also too, like, coming into Christ, like, I used to just read a lot, but now I'm, like, reading a Bible. Like, now I'm reading something that's, like, fulfilling me. So that definitely changed, too. I was in a reading slump for a while and just started reading the Bible instead.
I love it.
It was good. It's just crazy the way that life changes when you come into Christ. Because I came into Christ about a year ago. And then I got baptized.
I was there.
Yeah. Pastor really be telling my business.
Really?
He really did. It was crazy because I was just in the back and he was like asking everybody, he's like, have you been baptized before? And I was like, nah. I'm like, if you told me a year ago, I'd be back here on my way to get baptized. He's like, really? Tell me more about that. I was like, oh, okay. Like, you want a little story time while we're waiting? Sure. And I told him the whole story and I get in the baptizing pool and I'm like, of course, it's the guy I was talking to and not the other guy. And I was like, man, he's going to say something. I knew it. He proceeded to tell my whole story. I got a standing ovation, a clap. And I'm like, I was just getting dunked in the water, y'all. I was like, I didn't even want him to tell my whole story.
It's so good, though.
Yeah.
It's so good because it's so amazing. It's so intriguing. Like, a lot of people, you don't hear it a lot. You don't hear, or at least people aren't telling their stories enough about it. So it's amazing. And yes, that was so good to see you get baptized. I want to get baptized too for the 3rd time just because I ain't did it in my church. Is that too much?
Didn't Lady Jada once say she got baptized more than once?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and do it for the 3rd time. Yeah. I feel like I got to do it at one community.
Yeah, we got it in August.
Yeah. It depends on how my head looks.
You got to wear a swim cap. That's what everybody else did.
I just need braids in. As long as I got braids in, I can do it. My natural hair be everywhere. We can't do that. Okay. So I want to know, so like after you came to Christ, did you start to experience any type of pushback or confusion from like people in your life? Like, did you have any friends who were like that and then you started to change or any family members? And it's just like, okay, she acting different now. Or did you have some people that were excited about the transition?
I have a very close friend circle, and when I say that, I mean Alexis and her boyfriend and like maybe 2 other friends in my life. So I have a very close circle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say like I didn't really get any pushback from family. My mom and dad, you know, because at this point, like, we were kind of in like a moment. It was before I went no contact with them. I sent them because my service when I got baptized was the one that they were live streaming. And so I sent them the live stream and my mom, she's like, it made me cry. And dad's really happy for you too. And so I didn't really like get any pushback in that aspect from family. I will say one thing I definitely struggled was like, there's no shame in loving Christ at all. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like the, I don't know, like a better word for it. I don't want to say shame. Because there's
condemnation? Because that usually comes from the enemy. He'll make you feel condemned. Like kind of like you don't belong here. You're not worthy of this or.
No, it wasn't that. It was like, it was just more so like, almost like I felt like I kind of had to hide my faith from my family a little bit. Because they're all Catholic, or if they've converted to Christianism, which is, I mean, it's all the same as long as you're worshiping God at the end of the day. But like almost like I went up there and I visited them. I had a wedding and everything. And, you know, my aunt and uncle that I stayed with, they saw the tattoos, and it was only one of my cousins that asked about it. And I kind of like got a little nervous to talk about it.
About your tattoo?
Yeah, because I have Yehwa and then I have 4 Bible verses on my fingers. And then I have 1 Peter 5:7, 1 Corinthians 13:7, and Micah 7:7. And then I have, it's not a Bible verse, but it's 70 times 7, which is
forgive.
Because forgiveness for me, I had a problem with it. I'm still struggling with forgiveness sometimes, you know. But she saw them, and at first she saw this, and she was like, "What does this mean?" And she thought it was an acronym for something, and she was like, "You." Here I said it's Yehwa, and she's like, "Oh, what is that?" And I was like, "I'm like, that's Jesus's name. Like, this is the old Hebrew spelling for it." And she goes, "Oh, that's so cute." And then she saw it, and she was like, "Oh, those are cute too." And like, I just rattled off. And my uncle, I remember he was in the kitchen, and he was just like nodding his head. And I was like, "Oh, it's like I got a little bit of approval." I'm like, "It's not a bad thing." And then I think kind of like the pushback that I got was from people at work. Because, again, they saw me when I first moved down there. Like, I've been there since, you know, I moved down in February. They hired me at the end of February. And it wasn't until November of that year that I, like, or September, November, one of those months that I came into Christ. So they saw me, like, how I was when I was worldly. And I remember one of the chefs there was like, he was super excited. One of the chefs was super excited because he was also Christian. And, you know, he's like, "I'm so glad you got your Bible." And we literally, like, I took a little selfie with it, sent it to him and everything. And, you know, I've had, you know, godly conversations with him, especially because we're both chefs. And I had one point in my life of, like, I was like, how did you know, like, this is what God intended for you? Like, what is our purpose? Like, what are we serving? Because to me, I'm just like, we're just serving food.
I mean, which isn't entirely a bad thing.
No. I don't want to say it's not a bad thing, but I'm like, I just like, is like,
yeah.
I felt like there had to be something more to it.
Yeah.
And he was like, he told me his, like, what he originally wanted and how he came into it. And, you know, and he's been blessed. And then I also just had this other coworker who we always had kind of like a, like, big brother, little sister relationship where I would annoy him and he would annoy me. It was kind of like the siblings where you walk in the room, turn the light on, do a little dance, and then walk out, but leave the door and the light open on and open kind of thing. And he made a comment one day of like, "Wow, you came into Christ, but you're still swearing. You're still rude." And then, of course, I was like, man, like, I am. I'm still like, maybe I'm not, like, maybe I'm a good Christian. And so I had to deal with that. But, I mean, the worst part of it all was, honestly, the spiritual warfare that followed.
Bruh.
If y'all know anything about spiritual warfare.
I feel like it's never ending.
It's never ending. You get out of a season, and then you're right back in one.
It's super warfare. Ghetto. I'm just like, even like, it's just so crazy because, like, you could be sitting there thinking, like, "Oh, I'm just so tired," and not know that you literally going through spiritual warfare. Mm. Like, leave me alone.
No, leave me alone. I'm like, devil, you petty.
Just so petty. Like, well, just leave me alone.
He's such a pick me, too, man. Like,
really is a pick me.
It is you.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny because you just made me think of this. I was listening to somebody's testimony. This guy was saying how the enemy basically tried to get him to sell his soul to him, like offer him things. And he said it was in his dream. And he was like, before he woke up, he remembered him saying, please hear me out. And I was cracking up when you said that because I was like, that's definitely pick me energy. Like, please, I got something to offer you. Like, no, no, not trying to hear it.
Choose me.
That's funny.
But yeah, that's probably the worst thing that I've ever experienced after coming into Christ. Because I lived in such a worldly way that all of, like, the worldly things that were taught and having to unlearn all of that and then learn the Christian way of doing things, there was definitely points where I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like crying. Like, just like, I remember one time I was just going through it and the devil was attacking me hard. It was after I got baptized. And I was just questioning everything. I was like, why did I start this journey? Like, why? Like, why did I choose God? Mm-hmm. I lived my life without him for so many years. And I remember just like being in the shower and just honestly just like sitting in my shower, hot water running until it ran cold, like crying, just asking God of like, I need you to just put the devil in his place right now. Mm-hmm. And like, let him know, like, not to mess with me because I'm not in the right state. And I'm like, I want to have so much faith and trust in you, God. But it's hard because mm-hmm. I didn't come with that foundation. I didn't come with a childhood foundation. And I'm literally building my own. And it's so difficult because I'm like, I don't want to keep placing bricks if that was going to keep trying to knock them down. And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's so hard.
That's so good, though, because it's so true. It's fact. And the fact that you said you didn't grow up with that foundation, because so many people do, like, oh, I grew up in church, or I want my aunt or whoever, but they still grew up in church. You did not. So you're, like you said, you're literally building your own foundation and you're learning by yourself. But I feel like there's so much beauty in that, because like for some of us, I can't speak for everybody, but like for me, for example, growing up in church, there's a point where like you grow up in church and you don't really have your own faith because you're kind of leaning on the faith of your parents. Because it's just like, I know God because this is what my parents did. Or like, I go to church because this is what my parents said, what I grew up doing. But there comes a time like where you have to decide like, okay, is this what I'm going to continue to follow and, you know, build my own faith, or am I going to backslide and choose something else? And I have to learn how to build my own faith. I definitely backslid. I slid backwards, did a backflip, tumble, splits, all type of stuff in the world. And I had to develop my own faith. Like, I had to learn what it looks like for me to build my own foundation on Christ and know what it's like for God to show up for me. Not how he showed up for my mom, my grandma, my father, whoever. I had to see it for myself. So I feel like there is beauty in that because you still get to experience that. Like, it's like everybody has to get to that point where you have to get your own faith.
Yeah.
You need it anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, everybody's relationship is with God is just so different. And mm-hmm. and it's because God just meets us where we are. And
apart,
he already knows us. Mm-hmm. He already knew who we were before we entered this world, and he already knew our purpose in our life and everything.
What are you saying, Jeremiah? I knew you.
Yeah.
In your mother's womb before you were formed.
Amen. You know, and everybody's relationship is going
to
be different.
What would you say to someone who is wrestling with believing that God exists? What would you say to that person?
I would say what I wanted someone to tell me before I started this journey of, he is real, and when life gets real, he's there. But you just have to keep the faith, and that's one of the biggest, like, my biggest takeaways from being an atheist and coming into Christ is, like, in the moments where you feel alone, God is there. In the moments where you feel happy, God is there. In the moments where you are just struggling with so much, God is there, and he's just waiting for you to give him everything. He's waiting for your surrender. He's waiting for you to just fully embrace him. I mean, one thing too, biggest thing as well, is when you start embracing God and you start getting away from the devil, and you start he's come. The devil's also going to come after you. And that was something that wasn't really warned to me until after I started taking the steps. But God is still there. He's your ultimate protector. He's there. You got it. And one thing, if I ever stop believing in God, I need someone to smack some sense into me. That's all I'm going to say, because
I won't smack you, but I feel like you do really well with staying in community. And I feel like as long as you stay within your community, you're going to stay straight.
Yeah. That's the thing. I also never had community.
Yeah, that's so big.
I never had community. And like my community was like, oh, my friend group, you know? And Alexa was like, you need to find your godly community. And I was like, okay. And actually, on my birthday was the first time I actually went to OCCYA. She was like, we're going to go to church. You want to come? And I was like, all right, I'll give it a chance. And we both got put in gold group. Gold girlies. And finding community within the church and having people to lean on and talk to. And also, like, being surrounded by people who are not obsessed with worldly views instead of eternal views is so helpful in someone who's building their own foundation, because you can't do that alone. You can't build a wall alone.
Yeah.
Like Nehemiah didn't build a wall alone. He had the whole help of everybody. And he had a whole godly community to do it. And you need that in your life. So
that's so good. And I like that you said too, see, when I be listening, I'd be forgetting my brain. You said something. Hold on. Let me think about it real quick. Okay, I remember. You had said when you're sad, when you're happy, he's always there. Like, he's always with you. He's just waiting. And he's patient. I love, like, one of the things, I don't want to call it like an obsession, but something like I love hearing like near death experiences. I love hearing like when people are in a coma and they come to what that experience is like, because a lot of them end up being very spiritual. And it's so intriguing. And I was listening to someone's testimony of a near-death experience. And she was saying how when she died, Jesus was there waiting on her. And he took her, I don't know where he took her, but he took her somewhere where she was able to watch her life with him. And he showed her every moment, like when she was sad or when she was happy. He was like, see, like right there, I was there with you. And I thought that was so beautiful. Like, that brought so much peace to my heart, because I'm just like, he really is here with us. But then she was like, he also showed her the moments and things that she made other people feel. So I was like, can we skip that part?
Fast forward.
Is there a button on him? But no, he really is with us. And he is so graceful, so patient, so kind, and just waiting on you to just come to him and give him a chance. It's just so sweet. Like, when you learn that, when you do finally like surrender, it's just like, wow, like, gosh, you are so good. You are so kind. Such a gentleman. Like, you waited for me. Oh my gosh.
You waited for me. And it's probably the best experience you could ever have in your life, of just knowing that he's there. And like, knowing, someone said this in a Bible study like last week, of like, because one of the girls was like feeling angry at God. Mm-hmm. And it's just knowing that he wants everything. He wants your anger. He wants your sadness. He wants your happiness. He wants everything to do with you. He wants every emotion.
Exactly.
He wants you to give it to him, because that's our purpose. That's, you know, we're supposed to be chasing God. And that's the most beautiful thing that I've actually probably learned coming into Christ, is that God is there. Coming from a person that feels lonely, especially moving down here with no family, God is always there.
Always.
God will, and also too, God, people in your life, so you aren't lonely, so you have friends and family. But God is always there.
He is. And I think we said this earlier too, just, it doesn't matter what you're carrying, or like, he can take it. Like, even when people are like, oh, you're not supposed to be angry at God, why not?
What?
He can handle it. And it is,
if he put you through, if he put you in it, he's gonna get you through it. But you definitely gonna be mad at him sometimes.
Exactly, like, he can handle it. He can handle anything. Whether you feel like you say, you struggle with anger. I struggle with so many vices. Like, we're not gonna name today, but you know, just give it to God. But people who struggle with unforgiveness, like not being able to forgive, just like lay it all at his feet, and he will do the work. He'll do the rest. He just wants you to come to him, like you said.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most beautiful things that you ever discover, like, dang, I don't have to carry this by myself. I don't have to figure this out. I don't have to carry the weight of the world by myself. Like, I really don't have to do none of this. Like, I could just give it to God and go about my day. Yes. Yes, you can. Yes.
Release that burden off your shoulders. Your back will thank you.
I swear, I'd be like, you know what? I ain't finna deal with it. Here you go, Lord. Let me know what to do with it. You know, I'm going to go to sleep. Give me a dream or something. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah. Like, so serious. I'm like, I'm not even finna worry about it no more. Can't do it. Can't do it. So, yes, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy for you. And it's so exciting. Like, oh, my girl, you are such a beautiful person. Like, I love it. And you are so kind. You are so sweet. The fact that you're saying that you used to be angry. Where?
I mean, I'm still angry.
It's an emotion.
It's an emotion. It's also, too, like, my work environment is, we work in a fast-paced industry.
I like your recipe.
I know. You've been there. You didn't tell me you were there. I saw you on the matcha tasting that you did upstairs.
Did you see me there or did you see?
I saw your TikTok.
Oh, but I literally
commented on your TikTok.
You did.
I was like, girl, how did I know you were there?
That was before I knew you worked there. But now that I know you worked there, I'll be back.
Yeah.
I'm going to be back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it there.
That was a specialty dessert I did for the matcha tasting, too, with the popcorn and stuff.
Did I eat it? I think I left before I got the dessert. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's okay.
I had to go get my chow, y'all. Child care was closing.
It is okay.
But I'm going to be back. Was that a one-time dessert?
Yeah. But we're about to revamp our menu.
Okay, well, you let me know when to come.
I'll let you know. But
period.
Yeah. God is a good person. God is good.
It is so good. Well, yeah, girl. Well, that was amazing. I'm trying to see, like, did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
You said I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I have two other stories in my life that I think God was there. And it was actually one time that I thought God would, that I hadn't come into Christ yet. And someone told me that it was like, that was God. Someone told me that that was God. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Oh, they told you were God?
No, that because I got into a car accident. I flipped my car three times, 75 feet off the highway. And I walked out with a mission suit, broken glasses, and a couple scrapes.
Girl, that was definitely God.
And yeah, and I had visited my grandmother's grave on my way back from, like, on my way home. And I normally don't wear my seatbelt. And I visited my grandmother's grave, put my seatbelt on, didn't think anything of it, and got in the highway, got in an accident. And someone was like, that was God protecting you. He really sent your grandmother as an angel. And wow. I was like, nah, that was just, I don't know, it was like luck.
Oh, just you know?
Luck. I was like, it was lucky.
Girl, that's...
And I was like, it wasn't until, honestly, I think it was my first or second time in Gold Group. And one of the icebreakers is like, when have we ever witnessed a miracle? I didn't say it then because I was like, I didn't think of it as a miracle. I was thinking of things after I'd come into Christ that I'd witnessed. And I was like, nah. And then someone said a car accident. And it made me like, I was like, wait, whoa, that was a miracle.
Yeah.
That was the fact that I was able to walk out of that car.
Yeah. And you wasn't even fully there with him yet.
Yeah. And that also just goes to show that even though you aren't running toward God, God is always running towards you and still protecting you.
That part. Because I think mostly, if I was to think of a lot of miracles that happen, a lot of them happen when I wasn't fully surrendered. Like, just God's protection. Like, because, like, thinking of even, like, accidents. I didn't get into an accident this night, but I remember I was fully engulfed into a sinful lifestyle.
Okay, we've all been there.
I know. It was back when I used to date women, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and I remember we came from a pool party, and we got into an argument, and I remember we were on the phone arguing, and in the midst of our argument, I'm on the highway driving home, speeding. I still speed, y'all. Pray for me. Pray that I slow down.
The only thing stopping me right now is the slow down thing that they're doing in Dallas. I was like, I can't get clocked right now.
I know, right? But, I'm on a highway speeding and I see headlights coming towards me on the highway. Like somebody, I think, mind you, it's like 3 a.m. Somebody was probably drunk and got on the highway the wrong way. But it is a car full speed coming towards me. And like, y'all, I know I froze.
That's
but
so
somehow,
scary.
Some way, I'm on the other side of, and the car is passing me. And I like scream, like, oh my gosh. And she's on the phone like, are you okay? I said, I'm gonna call you back. I ain't never tell her this, but that was the day I was like, Lord, I'm not dying gay. I gotta get my life together. I was like, oh my gosh, that could have been it. It was so scary, but I can think of so many miracles that happened before fully surrendering. So it's just like the way I think about God talking to me is like I'm his bad little child to just be acting up like, I got to go say this girl again.
Yeah, no.
What is Shauna doing now? Angels, go get her. Go get her. Go turn the car because she done froze. Like, I'm just like, that's how I think. And I just be like, I'm sorry. Sorry, Dad.
Sorry.
But sorry, yeah. Dad. Yeah, but no. That's real. You are so right. Like, he is continuously, like, chasing after you, whether you are following him or not. He's coming for you. He's just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
But all right, girl.
All right.
Is there anything else you want to share?
God is good. Thanks. Period. All right, y'all. So let's get into this rooted reflection. So at the end of each episode, I do a rooted reflection prompt. Like a journal prompt, you can write it in your journal, you can drop it in the comments, you can just sit with it and think on it, whatever you want to do. So the rooted reflection prompt I have today is, what lie did you believe for so long, and what truth did God replace it with? Wow. And then,
I know, right?
That's good. I have to go write that down.
I'm about to do it in my journal tonight too. And then the scripture I have for y'all is from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. So just Amen. Know that whenever you accept Christ in your life, you are a new creature in Christ. There may be people who come into your life and try to remind you of who you were.
Your past does not define you.
It does not at all.
Becca! Girl, thank you so much for coming on and telling your story. That was so amazing, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate you for having me.
But all right, y'all, until next week, I'll see y'all then. Stay rooted, stay real, and stay close to him. Bye, y'all.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,